Today's daf is Nida Daf Tes Zayin. We are holding on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis. Today's shir is sponsored, but we have triple sponsorship. Today's shir is sponsored by Rabbi Yehuda Prero in honor of his grandfather's yard site, Harav Shmuel Tzvi Ben Asher, Alav HaShalom, the Nesham Shem and Aliyah. We thank Rabbi Prero very much for the sponsorship. By Adina and Jeremy Herskowitz, Le'ilu Nishmas Adina's grandmother, Chaya Mindel Bas Alimelech, Aleha HaShalom. Again, the Nesham Shem and Aliyah, and we thank Adina and Jeremy very much for the sponsorship. And once again, by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and we thank him as well very much for the continued sponsorship. So we are holding on Daf Tezvav and Beis, and we're right in the middle of the sugya of Safik Motzi Midei Vaday. Is it true that a Safik problem, that a Vaday problem cannot be solved by a Safik solution? So the context that we began the discussion was if a person knows that his wife is Tameya, but he's not sure whether she was Metaira herself or not, so can that Safik be Motzi Midei Vaday? So we're giving different examples from Shas, whether Safik is Motzi Midei Vaday. Then we're going to discuss Amud Aleph. The majority of Amud Aleph is going to discuss the issue of whether Vestos are Da'oraisa or Derabanan. The idea that there's an assumption that a woman is going to bleed on schedule, and that assumption carries with it halachic ramifications, such as a Chiv Bedika and a Chiv Prisha, and an assumption that if you didn't do a Bedika, that she probably bled anyway, and you just missed it. So is that a Din Da'oraisa, or is that a Din Derabanan? And the Gemara discusses, what if a woman didn't check Bishas Vesta, but check later on? Do you assume that when she found Dam later on, that it goes back to the Shas Veset, and that she's been Tameh that entire time? We're going to have Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel about that. Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Mishnah is going to talk about how many Bedikos are necessary around the time of Tashmish. So even though we already had a Mishnah that discusses that topic, this Mishnah is going to expand the discussion. What if there are multiple times that a couple has Tashmish in a single night? Do you need a Bedika Lefnei and Acher each Tashmish, or is it good enough to just have once? Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about what happens if a woman did a bedika and lost the bedika cloth. And then the Gemara is going to get into a discussion about Tashmish during the daytime, about having Tashmish Amita during the daytime and having Tashmish Amita La'or Haner, and what the potential problems might be with that. So we are holding again on Daf Tesvav Amud Beis. We are at Ve'akati, just a few lines before seven, eight lines before the end of the page. Last one line is Safik. So says Gemara, Ve'akati, Ein Safik Motzi Midei Vaday. Is it still true that we hold that a Safik solution will not solve a Vaday problem? Vatanya, but I'll bring you a Brisa that tells me otherwise, that Maisa B'Shevchaso Shal Meisik Echad. Berimon, there was a story of a Shevcha Kananis that belonged to a certain Meisik. A Meisik is someone who presses olives for a living. He has an olive oil factory in a place called Rimon, Sheitila Nefel Labar, that this Shevcha Kananis threw a Nefel into a bar, Uba Kohen Vehetitzbo, and Kohen came to look, to peer into the bar, Leda im Zachar im Nekeva, to be able to figure out whether it was a male or a female fetus that was cast into the bar. So the Tosos points out, you see from here that a Shivcha Kananis is Metame Beleda, just like a Bas Yisrael, because otherwise what's the relevance of whether it's a Zachar in a Keva? It must be to figure out the Yemei Tumah and Yemei Tawar. So it seems like a pretty clear Raya. Tosos Mesachas Pesachim, in the first paragraph of Pesachim, however, in Daf Tes Amud Aleph, says it's not such a strong Raya, because it could be that the Shivcha was Matil someone else's Nefel into the bar. She was working for her boss, and maybe the boss is Nefel. It was the Shivcha's job to discard it and get rid of it, and she threw it into the bar. And the issue was whether the boss is Tameh Leda. So anyway, so the Kohen was looking, he was to see the gender of the fetus. He didn't see the Nefel, and they weren't sure, is the Kohen now Tameh or not, right? That's the assumption. Rashi says that he didn't see the Nefel. If he did, then you know the Nefel was there when he was looking in, but we don't know. Now, if he didn't see it, isn't it a Raya that he wasn't, that the Nefel was not there? So the Akronim point out, no, it could be it was dark down there and he wasn't able to see. Whether it was there, he thought he'd be able to see, but he wasn't able to see all the way down. So, the Maisa came to the Chacham, and they were Metayer from Tumas Oel HaMeis, they said that the fellow is tameh. Why? Because there are animals in the bottom of the bar, and it's pretty much a vadai that by the time the kohen got to the bar, those animals went and dragged away the nefel. So the kohen was not mahil on a mace. So frankly, Gemara, but it's not a vadai. Va'achad the vadai itil the nefel. Safek guru, safek lo guru. V'kasi safek motzim de vadai. It's a vadai that there was a nefel that was thrown into the bar. It's a suffix whether an animal dragged the nefel away, and we're going to say that the kohen is tar because of the suffix solution of the animals dragging the nefel away, taking care of a vadai problem, the chamor metayer, the kohen. So why does Rabbi Abba say by a woman that she was vadai rasa that a suffix tefillah is not going to be motzi midei a vadai tuma? So the Gemara Mesechta Sota tells us that Chum learned this from a pasuk in Parsha Sota, that a suffix tuma b'rishus yachid, a person who goes b'rishus yachid and he has a suffix that maybe became tameh, even when it's a svek svek alahakel, the din is that suffix tuma b'rishus yachid, no matter how many svekos you have, even a svek sveka is going to be tameh. Suffix tuma b'rishus rabim, the halacha is even a single suffix is svek otar. So ask Sosos that if the bar was in Rishus Rabim, how could the Gemara prove from here that they were Matar the Kohen because suffix mostly mitei vadai? If the bar was in Rishus Rabim, it's based on a rule that's local to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. You can't use this as a basis for Kala Torah Kula to determine what happens when you have suffix mostly mitei vadai. And if the bar was Rishus Yachid, what's the Gemara's answer that the Gemara is going to give that it was Kimin Nefel and that's why they were Matar Midin Svek Sveka? Suffix to Rishus Yachid is tameh no matter how many Svekos you add. You can have Svek Sveka, Svek Sveka, it's not going to help. So Tosfos says it must be the bar was in Rishus Yachid, and they were Metar Machmas Svek Sveka because the Suffix of Chuldor Bardulus is a Suffix Hamatsui, and it's a Karov Levadai that the Chuldor Bardulus would have taken it. So that's not even called, that's stronger than a Svek Sveka. Svek Sveka and Rishus Yachid were still going to be Metameh, but over here it's such a strong possibility that it's better than a Svek Sveka. And Tosfos has other answers over there as well. But anyway, so the Gemara is asking the question, how could it be that you say in Suffolk Motsimi de Vade? Over here you have a Vade problem that there was a Nefel in the bar in the Suffolk, whether the Choldor Bardulus were Gorer than Nefel. So says Gemara, no, Lote Meitil the Nefel, the bar Ela Ema Kimin Nefel. Not that he was Matil a Nefel into the bar, but that he was Matil something, that she was Matil something that was like a Nefel, but they didn't examine to see if it was a developed enough fetus to have the status of a Nefel. Maybe it was a Shvir Mali Ruach, and they didn't know if it had a Nefel in there. So, Frakta Gemara, Valeda Im Zachrom Nekeva Katani, but come on, it says that he was checking to see if it was male or female. Sounds like up until that, he knew everything, right? He knew that it was an Eiffel. He just wasn't sure if it was a male or female. So says Marno Hachikamar. Number one, to see whether it was an Eiffel or not. And Vimtim Salom, Nefel Ipila, Leidem Zachem Nekeva. And then the further investigation was going to be that if it is an Eiffel, so what is it? What's the gender of that Nefel? Is it male or female? The Iba Yaseima, given the Choldor Bardulus Mitzuyim Sham, Vade Graruhu. The other possibility is that no, since the Choldor and Bardulus are Matsui over there, so it's a Chazaka that for sure the Choldor Bardulus was Gorer the Nefel, and therefore it's not a Suffolk being Motsi Midei Vadai, it is a Vadai being Motsi Midei Vadai. The Rishonim over here struggled with what the story was exactly over here. What was happening? Why was of all people, Kohen is going to be the guy that looks over. Who was this Kohen? So if you look at Rashi, Im Zachar Hu Antes Vavam Beis, Rashi writes, Kohen Chacham Haya, Umara Horaos, Umaskavin Lahoros, so Yimetum Avitara. This was a Tamil Chacham, he wanted to Paskin Halacha, and therefore he was doing his investigative research as a posek in order to be able to Paskin her Tumor Tara. Inami shigura etzlo bebayis v'nogas b'chumaso v'rotzli zari menakol yimei tumasa. Or it was nogaya to him to know whether she was tamei or tahar because she lived in his house and she would be touching his truma. V'yeshamim, but others say no. Leide emesayi is manavos karbana im yarbi mishmarto umlav. Now he had a selfish motivation over here. He wanted to know when she would bring his her karban, because he wanted to know if it was under his mishmar, because then he would get the little piece of the karban if it was his turn to do the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. Says Rashi, velo sfirli de b'shvil tor ola achas lekula mishmara lo ayil haikoy nafshe la'achi. Come on, no one is for his share in one little bird and amongst the whole mishmar. These mishmaros were big; there were a lot of people, so he's going to get a little tiny piece of one little bird. It can't be that would have been his motivation. The bachshir is the or ola achas, the or of the ola. That's because carbon ola is kula kalil. Only the or of the ola is not goes to the kohen. So the or of an ola, that's what he's interested for. So also, she doesn't have to bring the korban right when he says she's chayiv to bring it, or right when the yemeitah are over. She could bring the korban later, right when the yemeitah are over. Rather, she could bring the korban later. The gam lashon rishon einu nira di ichacham hu klum hu ba lahayil v'lavar alav to tumas meis el koina maratoya o katan v'shagar tu isha la'atitz v'liros. That now it must be that he was not maratz, or he was a katan, and the woman said, do me a favor, go look, and he didn't know any better. But it doesn't make sense that a kohen chacham would risk tumah for these factors. So that can't be that he was a chacham. So Tosfos writes, "Buba kohen vihitzit omer Rabbeinu Tam to kohen shota haya." So Rashi and Tosfos start off in very different ways, right? Rashi, he was a mara hara'a. Says Tosfos a kohen shota haya. Da filum number to shel gvir haya. The kohen zer korov haya. Loyal ol tamos. Tam tors kohen din kohen tam le nefelim. To be in dumi dav v'imo. Vod kohen loyal tzor chames. He says the heter that a kohen has to be metame to the zayin krovim does not apply to a nefel. It applies to only to a bar kayama, and also only when it's tzor chames. But over here there's no tzor chames at all. When the kohen is metame to zayin krovim, it's in order to ensure kvura, proper kvura for the karov. But outside of that, there's no heter for kohen to be metame himself. So that's the assumption that it can't be that's what he was that he was a kohen chacham, because he would not have been allowed to be metame himself. But ohel, good. Okay, so let's see the Gemara Vayter now. So it says the Gemara, the main topic of our daf. Boy, my name is Rav Nachman. This vestos da araisa odrabanan. The bedika that a woman has to do at the time of her veset is that minatora, and therefore only if she did the bedika at that time and didn't find any dam, is she allowed to assume that she is tahora. But if she didn't do a bedika at that time, even if she does a bedika afterwards and finds out that she's tahora, we have to assume that areich bismanoba, that the dam came when it was supposed to come, and she just can't find the dam right now. But you have to assume that it was there. The achronim ask, well, wait a second, how can you assume it was there? Normally, a woman's only tameh if she had a hargasha. Obviously, she didn't have a hargasha if she didn't. She doesn't remember feeling anything. So the Aruch HaShulchan says it must be that according to this halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, if you assume it is halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, it's daraisa. We're told that she saw bizman vesta behargasha, but she just didn't pay attention. That sometimes there is this concept that we have that dilma argisha velavadaita, that even though a hargasha seems like it's this jarring experience that a woman has, sometimes it's a little more subtle, and maybe if she's not focused on it, she won't feel that hargasha, she won't remember having that hargasha. So if you say vestos are daraisa, you're saying that if she didn't do a bedika b'shas vesta, that you assume automatically that she's tameya. Or maybe vessels are only midrabanan, but minatara, she doesn't have to assume that she bled b'shas vesta, and therefore if she did not do the bedika b'shas vesta like she was supposed to, she is tahora, she is no longer b'cheskas tuma. So amr lehu, midam Rav Huna chavrin, mishmei de Rav, from the fact that Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, Isha sheyesh lavesis v'igia shasvest of lo badka. If you have a woman who has a set time that she always bleeds, and that time came and she did not do a bedika, ulabsof rasa, and then the first time she did a bedika later on after the veset was over, she sees dam on it. Choshesha Sylvester. She has to be choshesh that she already saw at the shas vesta, because that's the normal time to see. And on top of that, b'choshesh l'riyasa. She has to be choshesh that she saw 24 hours before she found the dam, and we're metame all taros that she touched for 24 hours before the riya. So if she was bodik herself, b'toch me'es la'es of shas vesta, we're metame even the taros that she touched before shas vesta, as long as it was within 24 hours of her finding the dam. So Rav Nachman's understanding that that even if she didn't see dam and the bedika after this man vesta, that she's metame all the taros that she's no that she touches from the Zman of Veset and on. It's just that when she finds Dam, after the Zman Veset, it goes 24 hours back, even past, the even earlier than the Zman Veset. So Alma Vesel Sa Raisa. If that's the case, then we have to assume that Vesel Sa Da Raisa, the Chashash of Re'iyah B'Zman Veset, if the Chashash Re'iyah B'Zman Veset were only Midrabanan, so then as soon as the Veset would pass, we wouldn't have to worry about Dam, that she might have seen Dam at the time of her Veset, even if she didn't do a Bedika at that time. So Igadamri Hachi Kamalu. Some say that no, where if not, Nachman was being medayik from the din of Rav Huna, Amarav was as follows: Taima de Rasa, Halo Rasa, Ein Choshin, Alma Veses Rabbanan. Then no, that it's dafka if she's roa la achar's man. Then we're told that if she would have been bodek at the time of the Veset, she would have found dam then as well. And that's why we're metame l'mafreya all the way back to the Shas Vesta. But if she doesn't find any dam la achar's man, we're not choshesh that maybe she did see during the Zman Veses and the dam somehow got lost or it escaped her attention. And we're not metame taros that she touched already mishas vesta and on. It's only me'es le'es before the ri'iyah's dam that were metame like any ri'iyah. So apparently vesta sa drabanan, if it were daraisa, then we would be metame everything from shas vesta and on. So the Gemara brings machlokes Rav and Shmuel about a woman who didn't do a bedika b'shas vesta and then does a bedika afterwards. So itmar isha sheyesh la vestas. A woman has a vestas kavua, and when the Gemara talks about a vestas kavua, the Gemara assumes not even what we call a Ves Kavua. We call a Ves Kavua if a woman bleeds on the same day for 3 months in a row, the same time of the day, the meaning either nighttime or daytime. The Gemara assumes that she was much more predictable, and that she can narrow it down not just to daytime or nighttime, but, you know, 2 o'clock. She sees in the seventh hour of the day every time. That's what it means that she has a Ves Kavua typically in the times of the Gemara. That's why when the Gemara says they have to be punished mishto, an ona samuch levesta, so we assume that means the entire daytime period. Her veses is 2 o'clock. Ona samuch levesta is morning to night. Her veset is 10 o'clock at night. Ona samuch levesta is sunset to sunrise. Right, that's the basis of the chumrah, according to the Shach, of the chumrah of the Or Zeruah. When the Or Zeruah says that you have to be Purish, an additional ona before the ona savest, he says because nowadays you can't narrow it down to an hour. The best you could hope to do is narrow it down to a daytime. So that becomes, that entire daytime period becomes the vest itself. So the ona samach levest is the ona before that. And that's the basis of the Or Zeruah's chumrah that's popular in some circles. So itmar isha sheyesh la veses v'giya shas vesta v'lo batka. A woman has a veset, and she the time of the veset came and she did not do a bedika. Ulbasov batka, and then afterwards, after the veset was over, she did a bedika. Amarav batko matzas tameya. If she did a bedika and she found herself to be tameya, so tameya, then she's tameh even lemafreya back to the Shas Vesta. But Tahora, if she does a bedika and there's no blood there, Tahora, then we assume that she's Tahora. We're not choshesh that the dam was there and it got lost. But Shmuel Amar, afilu batko matza tahora, nami tameya, that even if she found that she's tahora, so she's still going to be tameh. Why? That we assume that the guest came on time, that the dam showed up when it was supposed to show up. Is a machlokas rishon, and whether how to pronounce that word. Is it oreach or orach bizman oba? The machlokas is actually between the orach and the arach. In two different places, the arach writes that one place says oreach, meaning it's a mashal, that the guest comes on time, so we're using that as a mashal. But the Aruch writes elsewhere that it's orach, like orach kanashim, that's the biblical term that we use for a woman seeing dam. So orach bizman oba, orach bizman oba, whatever your preference, but it means the same thing, that you have the right to assume that she bled when she was expecting to, when she was supposed to. So it seems that Rav and Shmuel arguing about Vestos. The Mar Sava Daraisa, Mar Sava Darabanan. Shmuel holds Vestos are Daraisa, and therefore, even if afterwards she finds that that there's no dam, she still assumes that she's Tamea Bigzorach Bizmanuba, and Rav holds that Vestos are only Darabanan, and therefore, if she finds that she's Tahora, she has no problem. So I'm Rabbi Zeira, no, the Kuli Alma Vestos Daraisa. Maybe everybody holds Vestos are Daraisa. Kan Shabbat Ka'atzma Kishir Veses, Kan Shalabat Ka'atzma Kishir Veses. When Rav was Mitar her, if she checks afterwards and finds that she's Tahora, that's if she's Bode Kishir Veses, meaning right away after the Zman Veses. So Rav holds we should be Mitar her, because if she saw Dam Bishas Vesta, where'd it go in such a short amount of time? Shmuel holds that since she didn't do the Bedika Mamish Bishas Vesta, Rechoshesh that she must have been Roa and it got lost, even though it's such a short amount of time. And when we said that Vesta Sadaraisa, as long as she wasn't Bodik herself Peshas Vesta, she has to assume that she's Temeya, Rav would agree, but that's only Shalobat Gatzma B'Shir Veses. That's only if she did not do the Bedika until a little while afterwards. It was La'achar Zman, and that's why we're Choshesh, that there may have been Dam, and the Dam has since gotten lost. That's how Rashi understands this phrase of the Gemara. But then Rashi says another pshat is that Rabbi Zeir is trying to say that it's not even a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav, when he was mitahir, is talking about that she was batgatz b'kshir veses samuch l'vesta. Shmuel, that it was mitame, he was talking about that she was bodek la'achar zman. Right, that's l'chora, that second way is the simpler way to read it, but it would mean that what sounded very, very much like a machlokas Rav and Shmuel is not a machlokas at all, that they're just talking about different circumstances. Whereas Rashi's first pshat says, no, it's still a machlokas, the Gemara is just explaining Shitas Rav. How is Rav going to reconcile with the idea that that if she doesn't do a bedika after the Vesas, that she assume we have to assume that she's Temeya? Okay, so Kan Shabbat Kasim Shirvas, Kan Shalobat Kasim Shir Vesas. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar Bivasasus Kufayu Kamiflegi, that they're arguing about the basis of Vestos. It's exactly what they're arguing about, whether Vestos are Da'oraisa or Darabanan. So says the Gemara, this discussion, whether Vestos are Da'oraisa or Darabanan, did not start with Rav and Shmuel. Amar Rav Sheish is Ketanai, it's an old Machlokas Tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tamei Anida, a woman who the time of her Vestos passes and she didn't do a Bedika, she's Tamei, Vestos Da'oraisa, Chazak Orech Bezmanuba. Rabbi Shua Omer Tibadek, that she should do a Bedika after the Vestos is over, and if she's Tamei, she's Tamei, and it would even be the Mafreya L'Shas Vesta, but if she finds that she doesn't see any Dam, so she's Tara, because all the Vestos is Rabbanan. Then says Gemara, V'hani Tanoi, this Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, Ki Hani Tanoi, mirrors another Machlokas, D'Tanya, Remeir Omer, Tamei, Nida V'chamam Tibadik. Remeir holds that a woman who's Shas Vestos Kavua comes, and she didn't do Bedika, and the time passes, automatically Tamei Nida, and the Chum say, no, check and see if anything's there now. And if anything is there now, then she's Tamei L'Mafreya Mishas Vesta. But if she finds that she's Tahora now, then she has the right to assume that she's Tahora, because Vesta sent Rabbanan. Amra Bayapananami Tanina. We also have a raya from a Mishnah that Rameir holds a Vesta Sardaraisa. Ditnan Rameir Omer Imhaisa Bimachve. If a woman was in hiding because of she was afraid of listim or soldiers, or she was afraid of being caught and being hurt, Vigia Shas Vesta. And it came the time that for a Vesta, while she was in fear and in hiding, Velo Bodka, and she didn't do a Bedika, and then the Shas Vesta passes, so Tahora. She is going to be Tahora. We're not Choshish that she was Roa B'Shas Vesta. Why? Shecharada Misalekes Es Adamim. That the terror that she's in would change her cycle and would make it that she won't bleed. So Taima Dika Charada, the reason that she's Tahora is because she had a charada at the Shas Vesta, so that's why she's Mesulakas Damim, Haleka Charada, but when there's no charada, if the Shas Vesta came and she didn't check herself, Temeya, then we would assume she's Temeya, Alma Vestos Daraisa. So there you have it, that Vestos are Daraisa. Had they been to Rabbanan, then even Shaloba Shas Charada, we would not assume that she's Temeya. So says Mar Lema Hani Tanai Bahanami Pligi. Maybe we could say that these Tanaim in the Braisa that we're about to quote also argue about whether vessels are daraisa or drabanan. The Tanya, the following brisa, haroa dam machmas maka. Let's say a woman sees dam, but it's because of an injury that she has. Afilu betochi me nidasa. Even if she sees the dam in the day, that's the normal day for her vessels. It's when she's normally supposed to bleed. So either the owner beninus or the zman of the vessels kavua. So tahora, she's tahora because we could assume that any dam that she sees is dam maka. Dam maka is not metame her. If she happens to have a cut in that area of her body, it's not going to be metame her. So she could assume that she's Torah. Divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Omer, im yesh levesa es choshesh levesa. Rabbi says, no. If she's expecting to see dam right now, she's expecting to get her period, so then you have to be choshesh that she may have a maka, so there may be some dam maka here, but you have to assume dam nida is mixed in with the dam maka. So my labba kamiflugi, isn't this the Nekudas HaMachlokas, Tamar Savar Vesta Saraisa, that Rebbe holds Vesta Saraisa, and therefore, since she saw Bishas Vesta, we have to be Choshesh that there's Dam Nidus mixed in with Dam Maka, Umar Savar Vesta Sarabanan, whereas the other Shita is that no, Vesta Sarabanan, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds Vesta Sarabanan, and therefore you could assume the entire thing is all Dam Maka, and be Mitire the woman that it's not Dam Nida. Meaning the assumption over here seems to be that she knows that some of it is Dam Maka, meaning that she knows. So you don't know if any of it is Dam Nida. We go even a step further in Shulchan Aruch when it comes to Dam Besulim. Dam Besulim is Dam Maka, and yet we assume that even though she's not expecting to see Dam Nida, that if she finds Dam Besulim, that maybe there's Dam Nida mixed in. That's well beyond what the Gemara is suggesting according to either of these Shitos, because this is in the Gemara we're talking about where she's expecting to be a Nida. Most often, Dam Besulim comes at a time where she's not expecting to be a Nida, and nevertheless we still make the assumption, and then we Ashkenazim go even a step further than that. We assume that even if she doesn't see any dam, that it must have been hiding, that maybe it was covered by Sheikh Vazara, and that dam maka must have been there, and Mela dam Nida might have been mixed in with it, and we assume that even that's Matame here. So the Shaila, I just had a Shaila recently, someone asked, he told me his Kala, when she was like 14, she went horseback riding, and she started bleeding, and she went to the doctor now before the chasna, and the doctor said, there's most likely you're not going to bleed at all. She said, you know, if zero is nothing and 10 is everything, you know, about a 3, you know, there's very little chance that you're going to bleed. So what happens if such a kala doesn't bleed, right? Would you say a chumra on top of a chumra on top of a chumra, right? That even then, even if she doesn't bleed, that we're going to assume that the dam basulim must have been there in chifah shech vazera, and maybe that was mixed with dam nida. So I asked Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig said, yeah, that's what we would assume. That he said, unless it's a 0 out of 10, then you assume. But the guy showed me that Rav Meisha, he found the truth. Rav Meisha holds not that way. Rav Meisha holds that if she ever bled before at all, then you assume that if she doesn't bleed this time, that there's simply no dam besulim. Okay, that's a different sugi though, dam besulim. So says the Gemara, Amar Avina, lo. Maybe that's not the machlokas over here. Dekuli Alma, both Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe hold vessels to Rabbanan. V'hacha b'makom rakom atami kamithgi. Over here, they're talking about whether the rechem, whether the uterus, which is where the dam is coming from, is itself tame. So if the dam maka comes from the uterus, it's a maka bimakar. So Mishum Gamliel savar isha tahora, that the woman is going to be tahora from tumas nida because it's all dam maka v'dam tame. But the dam is tame de kaasi derech makar because it comes through the makar which itself is tame. So it's only going to be metame the woman tumas erev by touching her, but it's not metame her as a nida. And va'amar le Rebbe ichayash leveses isha nami tameya, that if you're choshish for the veses, then the woman has to be tame also to masnida v'ilochay ashal leveses makar makom otarhu. And if you're not choshish for the veses, then you shouldn't say based on the makar that she's tar, that she's tame, though, because makar makom otarhu, it's not going to be metame bimaga. The makar is not metame anything bimaga. So that's the machlokas tanaim, whether makar makom otame or makar makom otar. Meaning most of the time when we assume dam maka is usually not in the makar. The maka is usually somewhere outside. outside of the Makrin, the Bayis Hachitza, the vaginal canal, somewhere along those lines. So then you assume that it's not going to be Metame at all. But what happens if there's a Maka B'Makar? So is a Maka B'Makar going to be Metame or not, just by virtue of the fact that it comes from the Makar? Okay, says the Mishnah now. So we've already discussed the idea of Bedikos before and after Tashmish, but our Mishnah adds one detail. That you need to do two bedikah cloths for each tashmish, to check before each tashmish and after each tashmish, and then in the morning you can check all the cloths. O tashmish l'araner, or have a candle in the room, and after each tashmish, check the cloth that you were bodik with, and then, but without araner, then you cannot, meaning if you use an araner, you can even reuse the same cloth over again, because you saw that it was clean, and then you check again by the next tashmish. But without an araner, you're going to need different sets of cloths for each tashmish. She could use the same bedik cloths before the first tashmish and after the last tashmish, and that's it. That's all she's going to need. One set of bedik cloths for the entire night, for kol halayla. So says the Gemara, Tanra Abanan, Afa Bisham Ram Shamish Mitasa La Aner is a Maguna, even though generally speaking we do not encourage Tashma Shamita La Araner, we assume that it's considered to be something that's Maguna, and the Gemara in Tamar's Dafkin is going to explain why it's Maguna, and it's more than Maguna that it's even Aser, but nevertheless, Beshame Omrim Tzrich Shneidim Al Kol Tashmish, O Tashamish La Araner, O Beshame Dai Bishneidim Kol Laila. Nevertheless, Beshame says that for the sake of Bedikos, you could be Meshamesh La'or Haner. That's what the Gemara seems to be assuming right now. So Tanya, Amr Lehem, Beshame, the Beisila, Lidivreichem. Beshame says, Beisila, according to you, that the woman only does one set of Bedikos for the whole night, Lechu Shematira Tipestam Kechar, Dol Bebiya Rishona. Maybe she bled at the first Bia, with the Chafen, the Shech Vazera, Bebiya Shnia, and maybe the Shech Vazera that came out during the second Bia covered up the dam that was there from the first Bia. So you're not going to have the relevant evidence that you need. So Amar Lehem Beisila says back to the Shammai, Afle Divreichem, even according to you think you've solved all the problems, even if you assume she's Bodekas after each and every Tashmish, there's still some chashash. Lechosh ad sharok betok hapeh shema nimok vaholechlo. Maybe while the shikva zera was still in osa makom of the woman, the Gemara is speaking euphemistically, rok betok hapeh, when the shikva zera was still in the makom of the woman, maybe at that time during the bia itself it got covered up, the blood got covered up with the shikva zera and got lost. And even if you do Bedikah right after Tashmish, you still might miss the Dam. So there's no way to know for sure that there wasn't a Tipas Dam at some point. Some Lehem, so Beshameh says, well, there's a big difference between the Chashash that's relevant if you follow my rules and the Chashash that's relevant when you follow your rules. Ficheno Dome, Nimok Pamachas, Linimok Shtei Pa'amim. Mine is much less risky. It's just one time of Shech Vezera. But according to you, Basil, they're going to have Tashmish, have Tashmish, have Tashmish, and each time there's going to be more Shech Vezera, so it's much more likely to cover up any Dam. So Tanya, Amra Bishua, Roa, Aniya, Dibre Beshameh, that I think Beshamai is correct, la halacha, that you require two bedikah cloths for each tashmish. So Amalo Tamidav, Rabbi Kama Rachta Aleinu. Wow, you're being so machmir on us. So Amalahem, Mutav Sha'arich Aleichem Olamazeh, Kadesh Ya'arichu Yimechem, Li'olam Abba. Don't complain about chumras. Chumras will give you arichus yamim, meaning if this is what I feel is the halacha, so it's worthwhile, even if it presents some level of hardship, because ultimately it will you'll be rewarded for it in olam haba. Amar b'zera midivrei kulam nilmad. From Beishamim Yisil, we see that bal nefesh lo yivol v'yishna, that a person who's a bal nefesh should not have multiple bios on the same night without a bedika before each tashmish. Because even according to Beisilal, who says you don't have to do that, from the fact that you have to do bedika after the last tashmish, you see that there is a chashash that she sees dam machmas tashmish, and therefore a chassid who wants to be very, very careful and avoid any safek iser should be machmir, because if there's a legitimate chashash that there might be dam as a result of tashmish, he wouldn't want to be boel again without a bedika. Rav Amar Boel v'shona. Rav says he can be boel twice without a bedika. Kitanya hi l'tarils, because this whole idea of requiring a bedika lachatashmish was only for a woman, as asuka b'tarils. But lebaila, we're not choshesh, and therefore we're not choshesh shema ra'asa. We're not choshesh that maybe she saw a dam, and therefore it's perfectly fine. Tanya nami hachi, and we have a brisa that says like Rava that there's no need to do bedika for the sake of baila, only for the sake of tarils. But medvam amurim l'tarils, aval lebaila muteris. And b'medvar mamurim sheinicha b'cheskas tara. When do we say she's muteris lebaila without a bedika? That's if last time he left her, she was b'cheskas tahara. Aval inicha b'cheskas tmeil, the only b'cheskasa, achetomerlo tahora ani. But if last time he saw her, she was b'cheskas tmeil, we assume that she remains b'cheskas tmeil, and they're also taftashmish until she says tahora ani. Okay, what if she did a bedika, and then she lost the cloth? So Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Chibarashi, Amar Rav. But let's say she did a bedika before Tashmish, she didn't look to see if it had dam, va'avad, and she lost it. Asur l'shamish ad shetivdok. She's going to need a new bedika before they do Tashmish. Maskef l'Rabbi Ila, ilu isa milo misham shav alfagav dolo yada. Well, wait a second. If the cloth was here, isn't she allowed to have Tashmish without looking at it? Without even knowing whether there's dam on it? So don't you see that because the Mishnah said that she could just check it all in the morning. So Hashanami to Shamesh. So now that she lost it, she should be able to have Tashmish as well. So Amalei Rava, Mochicha Kayam, Zu Mochicha Kayam, Vizu Ein Mochicha Kayam. That when the cloth is around, but she just didn't look at it, it's at least around, and the next day she'll be able to look at it, and she'll be able to know whether she was tummy or not. But at least at this point, she has no way to ever be able to know whether she was tummy or not, and therefore we're going to require another bedika before the tashmish. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asul Adam Mishamish Sheishamish Vitas V'Yom. Once we talk about being Mishamish La'aradar, so we mentioned this topic of being Mishamish during light hours, during the daytime. So it's Asul to have Tash Shamita during the day. Mikra, where do we learn this din from? Shneamar, the Pasuk says, Yovad Yom Yivoled Bo, V'Halayla Omar Hora Gever. Pasuk is Eov lamenting his Yisurim, and he's cursing the day that he was born. That Halavai, he should have been Nevad on that day, and he shouldn't have been born. That he should have died in childbirth. And he was Mekalel the Laila, that the Malach, who's in charge of pregnancy, made it that his father impregnated his mother. That Halavai, that Laila never would have happened, that I never would have been conceived. So Laila nitin le'irayon, yom lo nitin le'irayon. So he's assuming that it's only Laila that he could have been conceived on, not during the daytime. So you see that only Laila is appropriate for conception. Rish Lakish Amar Mehacha, boza drach of yamus, that someone who's mishamish in a way that it could be maybe the day b'zayon should die. So someone who's mishamish b'yom might see a dover maguna, and his wife is gonna he'll find his wife unattractive, and that's gonna be maybe the day b'zayon. Rish Lakish haikrad Rabbi Yochanan my darish. What does Rish Lakish do with Rabbi Yochanan's pasuk? So, l'chadidarish Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, didarish Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, also malach munal herayon, laila shemo. The malach that's appointed over pregnancy, it's called laila. V'notel tipo ma'midul v'nekrosh baruchu. What is this malach's job? He takes a tipa, he brings it to Nekrosh baruchu v'armelafan. Ribono shalom, tipa zu matei ala. What's going to be with this tipa? Gibor ochalash. Is it going to be a strong person or a weak person? Chacham o tipesh, a wise person or a fool. Asher o ani, a wealthy person or a poor person. Vilu rasha o tzaddik lo kamar. But he doesn't ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to determine in advance whether it's going to be a rasha or a tzaddik. Rabbi Chanina, Damar Rabbi Chanina, kol bidei shemayim, chutz miyira shemayim. Shneur mevat yisol, masham el kach shol meimach, ki im liyira, because yira shemayim, whether a person is a tzaddik or a rasha, that's not up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's up to the person himself. Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan, how does Rabbi Yochanan darshan this pasuk that it's also to be mishamesh biyom? Doesn't he need this pasuk to tell about the whole story with the malach that he brings the tipa in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Imkei nichtov kra gever hora. My hora gever, laila nitin lihirayon, viyom lo nitin lihirayon. That if that were the case, if the pasuk was only telling me that the malach that's memunah lihirayon, then it should have said gever hora. Hora Gever. Why does it say Hora Gever? Because the Laila is Nitin Liyarayon, and Yom is not Nitin Liyarayon. One is not supposed to have Tashma Shamita during the day, only during the night. The idea of the Malach's role in childbirth is not that the Malach determines anything, not that the Malach determines whether, meaning the Gemara highlights that all the Malach does is a Shlichus, that he's supposed to bring for the Psak Din of the Ribono Shalom. That's why there's a big discussion in Poskim about being Mespalel Malachim. Can you say Baruchuni L'Shalom? Can you say Rachamim? Right? There's a Maral and Rabbi Yaakov Enden. There are many that were opposed over the course of Jewish history. Dr. David Berger just told me that he generally doesn't say Machnisei Rachamim, but he says Baruchuni L'Shalom. So why? He says because Baruchuni L'Shalom, the Gemara says in Shabbos that that Malachim walk you home from shul on Friday night, and then when you get home, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them that the Malach Tov, if the table is set, gives you a bracha, and the Malach Ra is forced to enter a main to that bracha. So he says their shlichus from the Ribono Shel Olam is to be mevarech you. That's their shlichus. So when you say Baruch Hu L'Shalom, you're not being mespalel to Malachim. You're saying do your shlichus of what the Ribono Shalom told you to do. So Machnis Rachim, maybe that's a different story. But Baruch Hu L'Shalom, he thought that maybe is different. Okay, we'll stop there. And Baruch Hashem, we'll go through Rabbi Yochanan's drasha of the other pasuk tomorrow.